Imagine in the near-term future, your grandchild or your great-grandchild looks up in the sky and his mother can point to a star and say, you know, that star right there, that star has a planet just like Earth, and it harbors life.
NASA scientist Natalie Batalha embodies the rich encounters you've come to expect from On Being and this station. I'm Krista Tippett. If public radio adds value to your life, then give your support. Here's someone to tell you how, and thank you.
You can make their contribution by calling 513-419-7155. You can also give online at wvxu.org or wmub.org. If you've never given before, during this winter fund drive, take that first step right now. It's individual contributions from listeners like you that keep the news and information you depend on every day on the air. Again, wvxu.org, wmub.org, or you can call 513-419-7155. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. The 2017 regular session of the Kentucky General Assembly got off to a fast start. In less than a week, the legislature passed seven bills, and Governor Matt Bevin has signed all of those into law. And for the first time in state history, Republicans are in control of the Kentucky House, Kentucky Senate, and the governorship. And joining us to talk about the current session of the General Assembly are Kentucky Representative Arnold Simpson, a Democrat representing House District 65, Republican Representative Adam Koenig of House District 69, and Kentucky Public Radio Capitol Bureau Chief Ryland Barton. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ryland, Adam, and Arnold, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's indeed a pleasure being here.
Ryland, start us off with some background. I mean, in the first week, they actually passed seven bills, all of those were already signed, and that occurred during a Saturday session, which is a rare thing. Tell us about the bills that got passed.
Well, the big bills were there's a right to work bill, which forbids companies from requiring employees to pay union dues as a condition of employment. There are a couple anti-abortion bills, one that would ban abortions after the during or after the 20th week of pregnancy, and another that would require doctors to perform an ultrasound on women seeking an abortion and describe in detail the ultrasound. That bill's already been challenged by the ACLU of Kentucky. There's a bill that would reorganize, or that did reorganize, the University of Louisville Board of Trustees in similar fashion to what Governor Matt Bevin did last summer, although it's distinct because the legislature was doing this action instead of the governor. I guess the big difference with that bill is it also gives the Senate final approval of those trustees, which didn't used to be the case. A couple of other things, repeal the prevailing wage, which it's like a minimum wage on public works projects. It's a little bit higher, higher than the minimum wage. It's a kind of equivalent of how much union workers in a particular region make. So that's gone. And also another labor-related bill that forbids automatic. I guess it doesn't forbid them, but workers who want to have their union dues automatically withdrawn from their paychecks will have to deliver that authorization in writing. Now, so it kind of goes along with the right to work bill.
You mentioned that the ultrasound bill is facing a legal challenge. The ban on abortions after 20 weeks, is that also facing the potential of a court challenge?
There's a potential for it, but it hasn't happened. Notably, Attorney General Beshear he said that he wouldn't defend that law if it were challenged in court. It's kind of similar to what we've seen in the past, the Democratic Attorney General Jack Conway refusing to defend the state's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. But there hasn't been a challenge yet to that. But they're kind of waiting, kind of figuring that one might come along.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. What about the pace at which these bills were passed? Adam, it happened pretty quickly. It happened in a Saturday session, which is a rare thing.
It is a rare thing, and in 10 previous years, the only time we'd had a Saturday was during a special session, just to make sure we got things done and didn't have to spend extra time. But it was unusual, and we are set up to, in short sessions, which is what we have in odd numbered years. The first 4 days historically have been used for organization and making decisions on leadership and committee assignments. And since this, like as you said, the first time the Republicans have run all three sides of government here and the legislative and executive branch, and we first time that Republicans have run things in 95 years and the first time that Republicans have been in charge during a short session, we decided to make it a useful thing. And kind of our idea was these are important bills, and certainly Right to Work will make us more competitive from an economic development standpoint. And we didn't see the need to wait an extra month to make us more competitive. And same with prevailing wage, which I was fortunate enough to get to run on the House floor. It's going to save money for public projects all across the state, and we didn't see the need to postpone that a month and put that off any longer.
Mm-hmm. Arnold, what's your take on the pace at which this moved?
Well, it was very quick. I call it similar to a blitzkrieg.
A blitzkrieg. Okay, that's an interesting choice.
And it's because, first let me say this, elections have consequences. And one of the things you have not noted was not only does the Republican Party control the House and the Senate, they have supermajorities, which in essence means that on most, if not all, issues, they have enough members to control the flow of legislation. Now, the thing that was somewhat disconcerting to me relative to the first 5 days of the session, and when we talk in terms of passing bills, in all fairness, we passed it on Saturday, but we worked on it from that Tuesday, and it concluded on Saturday. So it was a five-day process. And when we rush things like that in many instances, notwithstanding the fact that the result we knew would occur, it negates, in my opinion, thoughtful reflection relative to the promulgation of policy. It also, in my opinion, frustrates public input because of the speed by which these measures were adopted. In many instances, negated restricted debate, as well as the ability of the public to really express their opinion.
Yeah, so do you think these would have passed under a normal protocol, under a normal system?
Oh, I think so.
Slower pace?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And another thing I might add, as my colleague has alluded, the organization session historically has been for organization, getting committee assignments, selecting leadership. We have ethics and training that we undertake. We did not realize, the Democrats, that any legislation was going to be rolled out. Therefore, we were not really prepared to debate those measures. Now, albeit a lot of the measures that were passed, they passed the Senate before, but they have not really been debated on the House floor before. So I thought that was that was unfortunate, because I think the thoughtful reflection and consideration of all points of view are vital in adopting public law.
Yeah, Adam, as far as the time for public input, what's your response on that?
Well, a lot of these issues, Right to Work, repeal of prevailing wage, pro-life issues, are issues that have been debated in the public arena for years and years and years. And Republicans and Democrats have spoken on both sides of that issue in campaigns and in controlling or attempting to control the House of Representatives. So I think everyone knew where they were on most of those issues over the years. And sure, there might be a word or two that, one might come back and say, okay, we maybe could have worded that better. But I don't think I think those issues, by and large, have been well debated over the years.
Where I can concur with the basis of my colleague's comment, one must understand that in the House, we had a tremendous metamorphosis, a changeover. We had 29 new members almost a third of the body, never participated in these debates on the House floor. Therefore, many of us, we've been exposed to it, are newer members. Unfortunately, they have not. And I think even though you might have a mindset to support or be against a given policy proposal, it's still good to have a full, thorough debate. Because once the policy is enacted, it's very difficult to, in my opinion, to reverse courses. Therefore, in my opinion, in retrospect, hindsight's 20/20, there's no great need to rush the passage of these bills in the first 5 days of the session.
Mm-hmm. Ryland, did you want to weigh in on any of this?
And I mean, I think that at least part of the what I've heard from reporters who have been covering the legislature much longer than I have, I've only been back in Kentucky for a couple of years, is that the speed of everything was very unprecedented. But then again, at the same time, you know, issues like right to work and repeal the prevailing wage, at least, those issues have been just debated so extensively, again, in the Senate, not necessarily in the House, and quite frankly, in the press for a long time. That I think at least that's kind of why leaders felt that they could move so quickly with this and feel that they had the mandate and right to do that. Then again, I think there's a good argument to be made that that especially some of the other bills that had not been discussed so much, like the University of Louisville overhaul, and some of the anti-abortion legislation too, which I think from the start everybody was questioning the constitutionality of those that legislation. It seemed like that went awful quick.
If I might this respond, the issues work, right to work and prevailing wage, for instance. I don't serve on the Labor and Industry Committee. Therefore, I've never been exposed to a true debate upon the pros and cons. Now, obviously, I come forth with a conviction and a belief that a certain course is the best course. But when you promulgate public policy, it's very important to enter any debate with an open mind. And once again, those of us who have not served on those committees in the House, I think it really did us a disservice to preclude us from those debates. Now, obviously, you have not asked. I voted against the right to work bill, and I voted against the prevailing wage bill as well, predicated upon my beliefs, and in all public policy, you're going to have reports and studies that will support both sides, whatnot. But still, I think it did the state, I think, an injustice to move so quickly, so rapidly on these bills, notwithstanding the fact that they were discussed thoroughly in the past in the Senate.
What were the things about right to work and prevailing wage that prompted your no vote?
Well, right to work is, in my opinion, is not the it does not the arguments for right to work, in my opinion, are not as strong as the arguments against. You know, what we're talking about basically is unions who negotiate for their members for a wage. To permit individuals to partake in the benefit of the negotiations without having a shared obligation is, I think, unfair. And furthermore, you hear and you see reports. We're one of
And Arnold, excuse me. Right to work is you don't have to be a union member to be working a union shop. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
but the supporting data. What we hear on the one side is if you adopt right to work, it's going to create a better environment for companies to come in, thus create employment opportunities. And we all seek employment opportunities for our citizens. But I just don't know if that's true. The studies that I've seen indicate that when you adopt right to work, what happens? Wages go down. And more jobs could come result from it, but it does not really improve the status of working Kentuckians. And that's why I was inclined to vote against it.
And prevailing wage?
Prevailing wage, you know, once again, you talk about prevailing wage, and you're right. In many instances, you look at it on the surface. It does elevate, in many instances, the cost of projects. But what I believe is by employing union workers, it's several benefits at that wage, one of which is you get what you pay for. You have individuals who are trained properly. Secondly, by supporting unions and union in that particular endeavor, what happens, you support the underlying programs, the apprenticeships, that in many instances have created opportunities for minorities and females, and they learn these trades. It's not really a closed system, whatnot. And the third thing is on prevailing wage, the monies that are earned by workers continue to flow within the confines of the economies of the communities. Therefore, if you don't have prevailing wage, if you get workers to work for less, it's going to be less monies that flow within the confines of the community.
And Adam, you voted yes on both issues, so
I did. On right to work, there every economic development professional in Kentucky will tell you that on many, not all, but many companies that they are looking to relocate, it is at the top or close to the top of their list of things they're looking for in a state. And you get crossed off the list immediately if you're not a right-to-work state. And so this is – we don't even get the opportunity to tell them how great we are and why they should come to Kentucky if you're not a right-to-work state. So it will increase our opportunities at job creation. And, you know, as far as wages, you know, there's a lot of stats out there, and we can all find stats that you know, benefit our arguments. But if you look at a lot of the states that have become right to work in the last couple decades, our southern states, which have historically not had the wage base that others have had. So there's, you know, we like to think right to work is going to be the end-all be-all, or some think it'll be the destruction. The fact is neither one of those are the case. There's a lot of other factors that affect economies, not the least of which is history. And those are, you know, one of the factors that lead to wages. Furthermore, on prevailing wage, that the prevailing wage has artificially inflated the cost of public projects in Kentucky for decades. We've had reports from our Legislative Research Commission, two of them, and both times they had a section entitled, and I'm going to try to get the words exactly right, but it is basically prevailing wage does not reflect market wages. It literally increases the cost of public projects, and those are all over $250,000, and those are, you know, obviously taxpayer dollars that we can't afford the government we have now. We have the worst funded pension system in the country. We have skyrocketing tuition at our universities, and the list goes on and on of needs for our public dollars. And this is a way to literally save probably hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars a year when you consider the state, billions of dollars of roads money every year, 535 cities, 120 counties, libraries, 174 school districts, they're all spending that money and they're all going to see savings.
Are there specific projects in northern Kentucky that would benefit from either of these?
The biggest one I can think of is at NKU, the Health Innovation Center. Part of it has already been bid out, but there are parts that have not been bid out. And that project that I think was originally $90-some million will probably save a few million dollars along the way.
It would be interesting to see if we really recognize the savings that those proponents are advocating. You know, what I fear is this. The projects will continue to cost what they are in an amount close to it. And what will happen is the wages of the working men and women of Kentucky will be suppressed, and the profits of the companies will increase. And one of the things about Right to Work, if I can just allude, you know, we have something called Site Selection Magazine, a nationwide publication, I believe. And surprisingly, Kentucky is one of the, it's always praised. I mean, you know, think about it. We have Toyota, we had an expansion there within the last 2 years. Now they have a line of Lexus automobiles. It did not affect that expansion. We have Ford Motor Plant in Jefferson County, which is just a tremendous robust growth within the last 5 years. Therefore, in many instances, I don't see the Dalton effect that the waysayers would say that Right to Work has had on Kentucky. Therefore, you know, at this particular point in time, I think it's, I just doubt that it's going to bring the promises that has been suggested.
Ryland, the GA reconvenes next month. What are you expecting to see?
I think top of the list probably is a bill on charter schools. There's been a lot of talk about that same deal for a long time. The specifics on exactly what charter schools would look like in Kentucky are a little unclear. Probably one of the biggest issues being who has the final say in who gets a charter school, whether that would be a local school district or the State Board of Education. Then there's another sweeping education reform bill out of the Senate and also a real ID legislation. That's something that has been in the works for a while. Kentucky and all states are required to have stricter driver's license requirements.
Right, and right now Kentucky's not in compliance.
Yeah, we're one of eight states that aren't in compliance, and at the moment, Kentuckians can't use their state, issued IDs like driver's licenses or ID cards to get into, say Fort Knox or Fort Campbell, but if we are still out of compliance by late January next year, won't be able to use driver's licenses to get onto airplanes, commercial air flights. Granted, can use other forms of ID. You can use, passports and other authorized forms of identification. The governor says he's been working on a plan, and he's been talking to the incoming Donald Trump's administration to come up with a fix. It sounds like, at least what he's been hinting at is similar to what passed out of the legislature last year, which was, essentially a real ID bill that had stricter requirements but allowed people to opt out of it or I guess not opt into it. I we'll see. I know I talked to some folks, a month or two ago, some Tea Party folks, and they still weren't happy about it. They think it's a privacy and federal overreach, and also ACLU. Once again, they're not fans of it either. So, I'm interested in hearing what lawmakers have to say on what the state of affairs are with that legislation.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time here. But Adam and Arnold and Ryland, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Kentucky Representative Arnold Simpson, a Democrat who represents House District 65, Republican Representative Adam Koenig of House District 69, and Kentucky Public Radio Capitol Bureau Chief Ryland Barton. The next Northern Kentucky Forum, the 2017 Kentucky General Assembly, What to Expect, is going to take place next Thursday from 6 to 7:30 in the evening at the Campbell County Fiscal Court in Newport. You can find a link to more information at WVXU.org. The Northern Kentucky Forum is a partnership of the NKU Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement, Skyward, and Legacy. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.
Tomorrow, Donald Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States. He'll take the oath, and NPR News will be there, carrying his inaugural address live to the nation and also following the parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm Steve Inskeep. Join Audie Cornish and me for all the festivities. Special coverage of Inauguration Day from NPR News.
On 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB.